Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Won't you stand across the building? We're going to read in the Bible in a moment, but if everyone would stand across the building. Amen. Won't you shake hands with three or four folks? Tell them you're glad to see them. Smile real big. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was basically painless, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you get your Bibles this morning, we'll be turning to 1 John chapter 4. We won't yet get back into our Romans series during this holiday time, but I want to share from the Epistle of John. As you're turning, don't forget service tonight. Come early and pray, and let's expect the Lord to have His way in this evening service. And then just heads up, we won't have service on Wednesday night. We'll have service on Friday night. That will be a watch night service, and we'll begin at 8:30. That way you can take a nap before church and stay all the way to 12 o'clock. Amen. So we'll look forward to our watch night service, just a time of sharing and singing and letting the Lord encourage our hearts for what He wants to do in the year to come. That's 2011. That doesn't hardly seem possible, does it? 2011, but here we are. If I've done the math right, I believe that comes after 2010, right? Amen. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read one verse now and some of the rest in a little bit, but 1 John 4, just one verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you read the last part of that verse with me, following the colon there? Could we read that together? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's read it one more time. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to preach this morning on greater is He. Greater is He. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, you know every need here, and I pray that by your Spirit you would meet those needs. Lord, may we sense a growing of your presence throughout the service, a growing nearness of your Spirit, an understanding, O God, of spiritual things that would encourage and strengthen and undergird. Shut up my heart and mind to the truth, Lord. Shut up our hearts from any diversion, and may we hear from heaven on this brink of a new year. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I believe residing in the world around us is a destroyer. How many believes that this morning? I believe that destroyer makes great attempts to do just that, to destroy people, in particular to destroy God's people. But I believe this verse lets us know that there's one that resides in us, one that resides among us, who is greater than the destroyer around us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There at the Bible school when I was a student, we had a dorm supervisor in the men's dorm, just kind of in between dorm supervisors. He was an older man. He was a great man. He was a friendly man. He was a spiritual man, but he just had some ideas that were just a little different. And he was way up in years and really beyond the strength of that position. But he would sometimes say things revealing some different ideas that he had. And on this particular morning, I don't know if that was one of his ideas or he was kind of razzing his guys a little bit. And some of them were hardly awake, 6:45 or 6:15, I believe, the dorm morning dorm devotions were. And he got up that morning, he looked out across at us, and he said, boys, do you know what today is? Of course, some of them didn't even know where they was at yet. He said, do you know what today is? He said, today is Friday the 13th. And he said, you need to understand something. Today there's going to be a lot more demons on the loose. And you better be watching out for them. Well, I don't know about his theology or whether he was just kind of trying to wake us up or if that was one of his holdover superstitious idea. He was a good man. But I do believe we could say that there's a lot of extra unclean, evil spirits let loose in our world today. How many believes that? I certainly do. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about disembodied spirits floating around with spooky faces. I'm talking about spirits at work behind everything that's anti-God and anti-Jesus and anti-church and anti-righteousness and anti-the children of God. If it's against those things, I believe there are spirits, by the word of God, there are spirits at work behind that. I want to give you some of the context here, Brother Durth, verse 1 of this chapter. The writer says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Listen, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. John says that false prophets have doctrines of devils or doctrines of evil spirits. He said, try the spirits, and the implication here is behind each of these false prophets was an evil spirit. Behind each of these false teachers was an evil spirit. Verse 2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Amen. If it's against Christ, if it speaks against Him, if it doesn't say He's come in the flesh, it's an evil spirit. Whereof you have heard that it should come. Boy, I skipped something. Let me go back. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and now, even now, already is it in the world. Amen. So John lets us know, and the Bible teaches there are evil spirits at work in this world, but they work behind the scenes. Behind the scenes they're motivating. Behind the scenes they're abating. Behind the scenes they're suggesting. Behind the scenes there are encouraging and inspiring false doctrine, evil trends, unrighteous fashions, all kinds of humanistic and devilish philosophies. There are demon spirits behind it all. And in this case, for this epistle, even there were these evil spirits were behind the false prophets who were infiltrating the church and promoting false doctrine. But my question is, what else are they behind, and what are evil spirits behind in our world? What are evil spirits inspiring in our society? Well, I believe they're behind a lot of things. To give you a few examples, I don't think it came merely from the mind of men. I believe there's evil spirits behind the promotion of all the magic and vampires in the media today, in the programming today. I believe evil spirits are behind the push to get homosexuality accepted. Just this week, they have repealed the ban in the military. And now, when it's set in motion, the policy will be that homosexuality can be open in the military. Our own vice president this week said, and I paraphrase, but basically said, with this repeal of the ban in the military, America, get ready. The next thing is going to be homosexual marriage, and it's going to be accepted in American society. I believe behind all of those things, and the evil and the unrighteousness, there are evil spirits at work. But notice what John says. Behind false doctrine, behind unrighteousness is evil spirits, and behind the evil spirits is the spirit of the Antichrist. Even does that mean that the Antichrist is already in some position of power? No, but John said the spirit of Antichrist is already come. It's already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in our society. Now look, John said he was already, the spirit of the Antichrist was already at work in John's world. That's 2010 years ago, or 2000 years ago, but I believe if it were true in John's day, it especially is true in these last hours of the last days. It's not being a calamity hour. It's not being spooky. It's being true to the Word of God to be told and to be warned that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in our world. He's here. He's here. He's behind every evil spirit. Now I want you to think about this. The spirit of the Antichrist, the same spirit that will anoint, the same spirit that will enable and empower, the same spirit that will motivate that one world ruler, the Antichrist, the spirit that's going to anoint him is already unleashed and at work in our world. That's a sobering thought, but it's the word of God. Amen. I want us to think briefly. Amen. What is the Antichrist? And I'm not just talking about that one world figure that's coming. I'm talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. We've grown accustomed to hearing the word anti and think against. And we hear Antichrist and we think against Christ. But the word anti in Greek, anti, doesn't mean against. It means in the place of, in the stead of, to be substituted for. And so the Antichrist is the one that comes in the place of Christ and takes the place of Christ. To be Antichrist isn't so much to be against him, but it's to take the very place of Christ. We have seen, sir, I believe this, we have seen this even in our Christmas season. We have seen the Antichrist spirit because instead of Christ, they've substituted something else. When you put Santa Claus in the place of Christ, it's Antichrist. It has taken the place of Christ. Amen. When children are told they can't say Merry Christmas in a school setting, in our society, the clerk behind the cashier or the cashier behind the cash register is told they can't say Merry Christmas. They've got to replace that with Happy Holidays. That is an Antichrist spirit. It's putting something in the place of Christ. We've replaced Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays. I'm just trying to tell you there is an Antichrist spirit at work in our world, trying to take Christ out of every place and replace it with something evil. Amen. Whether it's the home, whether it's society, whether it's business, whether it's the school, there is an all-out attempt to excise Christ out of the picture and put something else in. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. That spirit is at work. But I also got to tell you, there's another spirit. And it's not the spirit of the Antichrist. It is the spirit of the Christ. Hallelujah. And he's also at work in this world through the people of God. Aren't you glad for the spirit of Christ this morning? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you probably shouldn't do this, but when I cross a verse that inspires such great confidence and encouragement, I've got to begin to ask myself why. And I thought this week, as I've been to muse on this verse, how often has this verse brought encouragement and strength to the people of God? I believe it's that way. It's one of those verses you can hear it quoted, and every time encouragement and strength comes into your heart. Even let me try it just again. I know we already read it, but I want you to listen to me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Doesn't that do something for you? Doesn't that encourage you? You've got problems. You've got troubles. You've got battles. You've got temptations. You've got difficulties. You've got predicaments that you're up against. You may even be spiritually apathetic this morning, and you're concerned about yourself because you're unmoved by anything spiritual. But listen to me. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, that's inspiring. I preach a little bit about the spirit of the Antichrist, but I'm talking about the one who is greater, and the one who is greater has taken up residence in the hearts of God's people. Hallelujah. I ask myself, why is that exciting and encouraging? Is it just the poetry of the words? Is it just hopeful language? I believe it's more than that. I believe that verse lets us know the seriousness of what we're up against. He that is in the world, you better know it. We've got an enemy. Amen. He that is in the world. That verse doesn't pull back. It lays it on the table. Amen. Things are bad out there. He that's, but that verse also tells us there is a victory over what is against us. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. In those verses, first of all, I see the wrecker. I see the wrecker, the spirit of the Antichrist. We face a new year, and I believe we need to take note that behind all the chaos. It's been a bad year, 2010. Amen. Things don't look a whole lot better on the brink of a new year from a world's perspective. But behind the chaos, behind the trouble, behind the war, behind the increasing filth, behind the decay of morality, behind the attack of marriage, behind the attack on family values, in an increasing amount around us, there is an enemy at work behind it all. And that enemy just doesn't cause trouble and wreak havoc in society. That enemy comes against the people of God, comes against the church of God. He's the enemy of mankind. He's the enemy of the believer. He's the enemy of the church. And that is what we're facing. There's a wrecker out there. I've heard just this week of another marriage he has destroyed. Another marriage that he's broken up. I know people have choice and are willing accomplices, but there is a spirit out there that wrecks marriages, that wrecks homes, that tears down anything that is good, anything that is righteous, anything that is wholesome. There is a wrecker out there. He's out there in the world. The scripture says, he that is in the world. Listen, young people across the building, that's why preachers warn so much about the world, because he is in that world. If it's of the world, if it's worldly, he is in it. He is in control of it. He reigns of it. He is out there in the world. One of the reasons he's in the world is because he has the world in his grasp, in his sway, in his power. John later said, a chapter later in verse 19, he said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wicked one, in wickedness. And Paul said in Ephesians, in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. We need to be concerned about that world. Hallelujah. That's why I believe there needs to be a demarcation between the church and the world, the believer and the unbeliever, the righteous and the unrighteous. Because in the world, that wrecker's in the world. You get in that world, he'll wreck you. He'll wreck your home. He'll wreck your marriage. He, the spirit of Antichrist, our enemy Satan, he's up there in the world. And then I want to emphasize about this wrecker, he is a he. What are you trying to say? It says he is in the world. We're living in a time when even the church says there's really not so much anything as an evil enemy. I mean, evil is just the absence of good, like darkness is the absence of light. Even churches are saying that evil is just an impersonal thing. If it exists, it's just an impersonal force that's out there. Amen. Some say, even from the pulpit, that Satan and the devil, to talk about Satan isn't to talk about a person. It's just a poetic personification to refer to the idea of evil in the world. How many knows we live in a time when nobody is allowed to be politically correct and to be societal correct and call anything evil? You can't call anything evil anymore. You can't even call somebody that puts bombs on their body and blows up a building and kills other folks. You can't call them. I mean, if you'd listen to the prime news and the prime media, you would know there was any such thing as evil. But I'm here to tell you, it may not be popular, but it's the correct worldview. There is evil in our world. And evil isn't just an idea. And evil isn't just a personification. And evil isn't just the absence of good. But evil is a person. There is a devil. There is Satan. He has cohorts. He is at work in the world. He's out there. He is in the world. Now listen, I don't think we ought to overestimate the power of Satan, but I want you to know he has great power. I mean, I know that because it says greater is he that's in us. If he in us is greater, that means he, the other he that's in the world, he's got great power. He can do great damage. He can destroy greatly. He's a perpetuator of destruction, and he has great power. In myself, I am no match for him. Amen. Knowing what I know, being who I am as a Christian all these years, I'm still no match for Satan. I'm here to say the power of Satan is greater than I, but it's not greater than he who lives in me. Hallelujah. I must admit he has great power. Oh, he does. But his power, though it's greater than us, it is not greater than he who dwells within us. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. He does great harm and damage. Then I want you to know there's a resistor. There's a resistor. The Bible says in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And then in verse 3, of God, little children have overcome them because greater is he that is in you. Who is the he that is in you? The he that's in the world is the spirit of Antichrist. But the he that's in you and I is the Spirit of God. Christ dwells in us. The incarnate Christ who is resurrected and ascended to the Father. He dwells in us through the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have a Spirit in you? Greater is he that is in you. There's a resistor. The wrecker has come against us. But there is one in us who resists his attempts. And if we allow him, the Spirit of God will rise up within us. And we can overcome what is against us. I want to tell you, I don't believe Satan should be allowed to run roughshod over any Christian, any believer. If you're a believer, amen, you don't have to let Satan get the best of you and destroy you because of he that dwells in you, the Spirit of God. Amen, can rise up again when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. How many knows God before us? Who can be against us? Glory to God. As Elisha's servant learned, there are more that be for us than that are for the enemy. Amen. There is a resistor against this evil, and he dwells in the believer. He dwells in the church of God. Satan cannot just have his way as long as the church is here. Satan cannot just run roughshod and do his own thing as long as the church is here, because within the church, within the believer, is the one that resists and overcomes the work of Satan. I painted the picture of the evil out there. But I'm telling you, the answer is, may we allow the Spirit of God to rise up within the people of God and resist that. There can be revival in 2011. There can be a move of God. There can be a taking back of the turf and the territory that the enemy has stolen. We can take back what he's stolen from us. Hallelujah. Because greater is the resister in us. But you see, the power that is in us is all based on the relationship. Look what these verses say again. He says in verse 4, ye are of God. Literally means we're God's possession. That literally means, like I say of my children, they're mine. To say you're of God, that means you are God's children. I've seen people, not even believers, the things of the world are getting the best of them. And they say, well, you know, the Bible says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But that doesn't apply to somebody that's not a child of God. Amen. You got to be of God. How many do we have that are of God this morning? Then if you raise your hand, you can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all in the relationship. Amen. He goes on to say, little children. And I know that's the aged apostle speaking with affection to his readers and those that he has won to the Lord and discipled. And he says to his flock, little children. But I believe it goes beyond being John's children. I believe John is recognizing them for who they are, the children of God. How many is glad in the world that we're facing in 2011 that you can say, I'm a child of God. Oh, that ought to mean something to you. Amen. He's going to be greater in us if we're the children of God. But John says, not only are we of God, not only are we the children of God, but he dwells in us. I want you to think about this for a moment. I'm going to read it in Oki. You all, the bunch of you, you all are the children, are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you all than he that's in the world. You know, we jumped the first part of this interpretation, but what John is saying, first of all, we are a body of believers. We are a fellowship of believers. We are the temple of the Holy. I'm talking about together, all together. We are the community of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And when we come together, he is in our midst. He is among us. And I know we face things as individuals, but we face things as a church, as a body. But whatever comes against the church, whatever comes against an individual in the body, he is in our midst. And greater is he that's in this body of the church than he that's out there in the world. Aren't you glad he's amongst us? But then we bring that down, and the reason he's in us as a group is because he's in us as an individual. He can't be in the church unless he's in the individuals in the church. And so, Sister Marna, I can't say when I'm standing by myself, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And it's based on the relationship. He is in us. Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Jesus later said, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I'm going to be in you. John said later, abide in me, and I in you. If ye abide in me, and I in you, you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, Christ in you. Oh, the next time you're in the battle, next time the things look dark and unconquerable, amen, remind yourself of the relationship you have with God and say, I don't understand it all. I'm not deserving of it, but God dwells within me. Oh, if we could just get a grasp of that this morning. Great is the mystery of godliness. Christ in you. Hallelujah. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Hallelujah. Gave himself for me. It's not I that liveth. It's Christ that lives it in me. It's our relationship. We've already overcome him. Notice what it says in the verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. John said, you've already fought some battles, and you were victorious through Christ in those battles. What makes you think that this time is going to be any different? How many can lift a hand and say, I've already won some battles through Christ? That's what John said. You have overcome him. What John says, you've done it in the past, and through him, you're going to overcome in the future. I don't know what we're going to face in 2011. I don't want to try to comprehend. But Brother Brock, you've overcome some things in the past. That's what John says, you've overcome. And what John is saying, since you've overcome through Christ in the past, you can know you're going to overcome through him in the future. Amen. Brother Keith, after D-Day, I mean, that was awful fighting on D-Day. But after D-Day, some of the fierce fighting of World War II took place after D-Day. In particular, the Battle of the Bulge. But it was never in question. The war was already won. It was settled that it was won at D-Day. Whatever skirmishes, whatever battles took place afterwards, D-Day had already settled it. I'm telling you, if you're born again, victory is insured. There may be battles and there may be skirmishes, but victory has already been insured. You're going to overcome. Glory to God. Because you're a child of God, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Last of all, I see in this verse the rescue. I mean, there's the great power of Satan, the wrecker. There's the greater power in me, amen, because of my relationship with God. But there is a rescue. Amen. The only conclusion of the words that he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. The conclusion is, yes, he that's in the world comes against us. But since he that is in us is greater, he that's in us defeats every attempt of the evil one. Amen. To come against me and destroy you and I and to wreak havoc. The one that's in us is going to rescue us. He's going to bring us through. He's going to bring us out. Hallelujah. If he is greater, we're going to win. Hallelujah. If he is greater, we're going to have victory through him who dwells in us. Whatever comes against us, he is greater. Hallelujah. How many knows he's greater than your temptation? He's greater than your trial. He's greater than the valley you walk through. He's going to rescue you. However bad things may get, if he is greater, there's going to be victory. Amen. Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world, and the prince of the world shall be cast out. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And Paul said, shortly, Christ is going to bruise Satan under your feet. Amen. There's going to be a rescue for the children of God from every problem, every difficulty. I don't know who wrote this, but I wanted to read it to you. Amen. As we come, amen, to a place to quit here. Music, would you come? One man sat down and wrote in his journal. Listen to these words. He said, never again, never again will I say I can't, because I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Never again will I admit my lack of Because my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Never again will I fear, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a strong mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, sound mind. Never again will I harbor fright and doubt and unbelief and the lack of faith, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 27:1. Never again will I admit defeat, because I give thanks to my God, which causeth me always to triumph through Jesus my Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Never again will I lack wisdom, because if I lack wisdom, I can ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given me. James 1:5. Never again will I be worried and frustrated, because the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Never again will I be in bondage, because the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And never again will I allow Satan to have the supremacy over my life, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and I will live in victory through Christ. I don't know if you ever did it, but often little kids will get together and get in some kind of argument, and before long it's, my dog's bigger than your dog. How many's ever been there? And then it moves to, my brother's bigger than your brother. And then it's, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's got a bigger gun than your dad's got. They may be bluffing, but we're not bluffing. When we look out at this world and its God and say, our God is bigger than that God. How many can say this morning, our Master is greater than their master? Oh, hallelujah. I said, greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. This made such an impression on me. I'm sure I've told it many times, even here. But I can't ever think of this verse hardly without thinking of the time when I was a teenager. The missionary came through, talked about a time in the Philippines. I believe it was the Philippines. Having a great move of God under the tent, folks were getting saved. A village was converting to Christ. One night, the witch doctor showed up trying to get back his following. During the midst of the service, he walked straight up to the front of that church and said, this woman's trying to tell you about another religion, but he said, I've got the power. He says, watch. He lay down upon that altar bench. And suddenly, by demonic power, he began to levitate off the altar bench, higher, higher in the air. Little missionary lady, just a slight woman. She watched the people as they were responding to that. She walked up there to where the witch doctor was levitating. Just a real small lady. She put her hand above him, not touching him, making sure she wasn't touching him, and said, in the name of Jesus, and began to put her hand down, never touched him. But as she moved her hand down, the witch doctor went down all the way to the altar. The enemy does have power, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How many knows he's greater? I know I haven't talked about how through our potential or our gifts or our talent, we're going to overcome. Because the most talented potential people end up wreckage. But we can overcome. Whoever we are, wherever we come from, whatever. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I just want us as a church to face this new year with that ringing in our ears. Whatever we face, greater is he. Oh, aren't you glad he's in you this morning? I kind of believe if he's in you, you're feeling something stirring right now to worship and to praise him. Would you stand across the building? Let's praise and worship Christ. Would you do it? Would you do it? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we give thanks to you. Greater is he. Greater is Christ. Greater is Jesus. Greater is Emmanuel, God with us, than he that's in the world. The God of this world blinds and destroys, but Christ's power is greater. Even through the cross, he has spoiled principality and power and led them captive and conquered them and nailed to his cross the handwriting that was against us. He has spoiled the enemy, and through Christ, his resurrection power that's in us, we have victory, resurrection power. Feel us this hour. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever's got a hold of your life, if you're not a believer, amen, if you'll turn your heart completely to Christ, Christ will break that power and give you liberty and deliverance, because his power is greater. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to open these altars this morning for the whole church. If you're here this morning, though, and you don't know Christ, you'd love to be set free. You're tired of Satan working his will in your life and destroying you. I want to invite you to come. Amen. Someone will be here to pray with you. But if you've got Christ in you, if you allow Christ in your heart, there is a victory. There is a deliverance. There is a setting free. Would you come, church? Let's pray. Just thinking that we got that relationship, that we're of God. We're his children. We've overcome in the past. We're going to overcome in the future. If you're here and need the Lord, would you come with the church as they come to pray? Holy Spirit of God, be at work in this altar service. Amen. Right now, Holy Spirit, draw that one or ones that need Christ. Draw them to this altar. I'm telling you, you can overcome. You can be victorious. Hallelujah.